Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money.
The fixed income market has been going through an amazing amount of chop and churn over the last 15 months, and now it has reached an interesting milestone. There is a new product in the market and one that has been spoken about quite a lot over the last few months. I am talking about the Bharat Bond ETF. Now, why is this product interesting? Because it's the first time that we will have an ETF or an exchange-traded fund which will use the underlying index, which is the Bharat Bond Index, that comprises entirely of CPSEs or government-run central public sector undertakings. So the investment is only going to go in bonds that are issued by the central government. Does it make the cut? Not. What's the good, bad and ugly about this product? Well, to understand it threadbare, I have with me Ashish Shankar, Head of Investment Advisory at Motilal Oswal Wealth Management. Ashish, always a pleasure to have you on the show. So
yeah,
welcome back.
Pleasure to be on the show, Surabhi.
Speaking at an interesting time, the year is also drawing to a close. And then, you know, we've had so many ups and downs in the fixed income market.
Yes.
And then comes the Bharat Bond ETF.
Right.
Is it going to allow us to end the year at least on a bit of a high?
Yes, I think it's a very interesting product, and the timing is also very right. If you look at what's happened, a lot of these credit funds have troubled investors. We've seen downgrades and we've seen markdowns in credit funds, and people are really scared because they thought the fixed income investments are very safe, and to see this kind of volatility really shakes you up. So it's come at a time when there is extreme risk aversion in the market. People are trying to put money in public sector banks or, let's say, the good quality private sector banks. So an ETF where the underlying is government enterprises, that too AAA, at least it takes away the credit risk aspect of fixed income investing.
Okay. Well, there are two categories. If I talk about retail investors, there are two categories of investors. One who moved to debt funds and then maybe they got bruised, as you're saying, because of the events of the last 1 year. And the other category, which is still happy and comfortable with their fixed deposits. For which category of investors do you think this could be at least an interesting idea to consider?
See, a couple of things. One, this comes in an ETF wrapper. So it gives you the long-term capital gains benefit. So there are two plans, as I understand. There is one plan which matures in 2023, and there's another plan which matures at 2030. So essentially, you have a three-year plan and you have a 10-year plan. Now, both these plans are interesting because if you spend more than 3 years in this product, you're eligible for long-term capital gains tax. So anybody whose taxation is greater than 30%, so essentially you're talking about HNIs, for them this makes a lot of sense. For people where the taxation is probably 10% or lower, who do not come into the tax category, bank deposits probably are a better bet because then you're just looking at the gross yield. You're not looking at the net yield, that is net of taxation.
Net of tax, yeah.
Net of tax.
Okay.
So it's an interesting product, albeit I would say that in the three-year category, you do have many other substitutes. But the longer term 2030 option is very, very interesting because I don't think there is a comparable product in the market except for maybe tax-free bonds.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay, so that's the first things first. I mean, a lot of people do look at an alternative to FDs because FDs are not tax efficient, especially if you're in the 30% bracket. I get that.
Right.
Another two types of risks. I want to come back to the drawing board as well when it comes to fixed income investing. You spoke of credit risk.
Yes.
Which in this case is not there because most of these bonds are going to be AAA rated.
Yes.
They're going to be at least backed by the sovereign.
Right.
It's Government of India companies. What about interest rate risk?
Yes.
Because we're in an era where rates are fluctuating. We don't know if there's another cut from the RBI. How does a bond ETF like this one react to changes in interest rates?
Right. So to explain it in a very simple manner, let's assume you put money in a three-year bond and you put it at 7%. Let's say the interest rates rise to 7.5% and the bond has to get repriced to 7.5%. Ideally, the price of the bond has to go lower. For the new investor to get 7.5% because interest rates have adjusted. So bond prices and interest rates are inversely proportional. So when interest rates move up, bond prices go down. When interest rates go down, bond prices tend to move up. But this worry is for somebody who wants to exit in the interim. So let's say I buy a three-year bond and if I want to exit after 2 years, then where the interest rate is after 2 years is of importance to me. But let's say if I buy a bond for 3 years and I want to stay in the bond for 3 years, then this risk really doesn't matter. So if I lock in my money at 7% for in a 3-year bond, I will get my 7% after 3 years. Yeah, yeah. So in the three-year ETF, the interest rate risk will be minimal, mm-hmm. because the bonds mature after 3 years. Mm-hmm. In the 10-year ETF, mm-hmm. let's say if you want to exit after 4 years, then yes, the interest rate risk does make a difference, because mm-hmm. after 4 years you want to exit the 10-year ETF, mm-hmm. if the interest rates are up, you may get a return which is lower than the return that you locked in while investing. Okay. If the interest rates are down, consequently, you may make a slightly higher return.
Okay.
Right? So, my...
So, it will depend on when you really want to exit. If you're
absolutely.
Going to hold it till maturity,
right.
then there is minimal interest rate risk, because whatever is indicated, you should get ballpark.
Actually, there is no interest rate risk if you hold it till maturity, because you should get what the underlying mm-hmm. yield of the bond is.
And I'm guessing this is the concept of target maturity. So, if you read literature around this product, the Bharat Bond ETF, there's this concept of target maturity that they speak of.
Yes.
And I'm guessing that's what this is. There's a 3-year product. You can go for the 3-year ETF.
Absolutely.
Or the 10-year
Absolutely.
ETF as well.
Absolutely.
How to decide between 3 and 10? One is obviously going to be, when do I need the money?
Right.
If I don't need the money for the next 6-7 years, can I take the 10-year option? Will the interest rate risk be mitigated, because I'll have to then hold on till 10 years? How to decide which one to choose?
See, if you look at the savings pattern in India, people keep fixed income investments for very long periods of time. If you look at the tax-free bonds which got issued for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, mm-hmm. all of them got oversubscribed. Mm-hmm. So people keep fixed income money for very, very long periods, even these insurance investment products. Mm-hmm. So the 10-year ETF, according to me, should be an integral part of any long-term fixed income portfolio.
Okay.
It's a no-brainer for me, mm-hmm. because the expense is very, very low, mm. and the yields are closer to 7.5%,
sure.
which is a very good yield. And I'm really hoping that it helps us expand the mutual fund market. Mm. Because if you look at the number of mutual fund folios, it's, I think, barely 2.1 crore folios in the industry. Whereas if you look at the bank deposit market, it's a massive market. Mm. Probably 70, 80 crore bank accounts are opened. So I'm just hoping, with the creditors going away and the underlying investments going into government bonds, it widens the mutual fund market.
Sure.
Rather
sure.
than eating into the share of the existing. The 3-year option, frankly, there are other funds which are also very good. So if you look at some of these PSU debt funds, PSU banking debt funds, their yields are closer to 7% net of expenses.
So you're getting better yields.
Absolutely. So you're getting better value for your money, and they're open-ended. So you don't have this risk of trying to sell in case you need the money before maturity.
So Ashish, I think we've established that for someone who's willing to hold on and is looking for tax efficiency, this could be a really interesting option to consider. Yeah. The question is how to invest. Now, in the NFO, the question is, will I get units for any amount of money that I apply? How does it really work when you're trying to, subscribe to an ETF NFO?
Right. So, if I read the prospectus right, mm-hmm. they are going to accept a size of 7,000 crores with a green show of 8,000 crores. Mm-hmm. So, my view is you should get any amount of units in the NFO. Unless, we see some crazy subscription happening at this point in time. Even after the NFO, if somebody wants to subscribe, my understanding is that either you can go on the exchange and buy it. Mm-hmm. So they have appointed market makers who will give you quotes, mm-hmm. What are typically bid ask quotes. Mm-hmm. So I understand that they've appointed people like ISEC and JM to do the market making. Mm-hmm. But for larger investors, you can directly go to the asset management company which is doing the Bharat Bond ETF, mm-hmm. and they will create units for you.
Okay.
There is another option, interesting option for let's say investors going with smaller amounts to invest in this particular fund, which is the FOF, the fund of funds. Mm-hmm. So they're going to create a mutual fund which mm-hmm. is going to invest in the underlying ETF.
And this would be very handy for people who don't have DMAT accounts, who don't
Absolutely.
Want to bother with the buying
Absolutely.
And selling on the exchange.
Absolutely.
They want to operate like a normal
Absolutely.
Mutual
Either
fund.
If you don't have a DMAT account, or if you're going to invest small sums of money, let's say you're putting in 10,000 rupees or 20,000 mm-hmm. rupees, mm-hmm. and you really don't want to go to the exchange and buy the units because liquidity, we still don't know how the liquidity mm-hmm. will be. So the mm-hmm. FOF is a very, very, very good option for smaller amounts.
So now the ETF itself, you know, has been priced very cheap. In fact, I'm told it's one of the cheapest, if not the cheapest product in the Indian market because the expense ratio is 0.0005%.
It's the cheapest fixed income option.
Fixed income option. Yeah. But how does that change when you move to the FOF? Typically, how much higher are the costs?
So my understanding is that even in the FOF, they've kept the cost very, very marginal.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it is 5 basis points.
Okay.
So it really doesn't move the needle much, but it gives you a lot of convenience because you don't need a DMAT account. You don't have to bother about the vagaries of the bid-ask spread of the market makers. Yeah. You just go to the AMC, you buy the fund, or when you need the liquidity, you redeem the fund, they will give you the liquidity or the money back.
So, you know, that explains it for people who just want to go through the regular mutual fund route. But if I talk about those who do want to access this via the exchange route, how does it really work? And what's been the experience with past ETFs in terms of easy accessibility, easy liquidity, the variance in the price? Because the NAV of the ETF might be one thing, but I'm guessing the price is going to be determined if there are a lot of buyers. I mean, a lot of people want to suddenly buy units on the exchange. So that will inflate the price, I'm guessing.
Right. So, see, there are two things you need to keep in mind. First of all, we don't have a history for a bond ETF on the exchange. Right. Most of these ETFs have been equity ETFs. So they move depending on the underlying index. So let's say a Nifty index or a banking index. The bond ETF will be determined by two things. One, the interest rate at that point in time, because that will determine the price of the underlying bonds. And two, the liquidity that is offered by market makers. So if a lot of people want to sell the units at any particular point in time, and let's say the market makers are not offering enough liquidity, then you could see the bid-ask spread widen and you could get a lower price than what the actual value of the underlying fund is.
Okay.
Similarly, if let's say interest rates are going down and the bonds are going up and there is a lot of demand for it, you may actually end up buying at a marginal premium.
Okay.
But the volatility as opposed to let's say an equity ETF will be very, very much, much lower than an equity ETF.
Okay.
Because the interest rate changes and the liquidity at the margin offered by market makers will be the key drivers of the price on a bond ETF. So I don't expect it to be very volatile on a day-to-day basis. But yes, we'll have to wait and see what kind of bid-ask spreads are offered on the exchange.
All things put together, as an investment product, is it a green or a red for you?
So for me, the 10-year is definitely a green. It should be part of any long-term bond portfolio. The 3-year option, frankly, I feel there are other options as well. So it could be one of the options that you invest in. But the 10-year definitely is a go for me, and it's a green, big green.
Okay, yeah. All right, interesting. So, you know, important takeaways there for those who might be interested in the Bharat Bond ETF. Before we wind up our conversation, the year's coming to a close. And as you said, I mean, credit risk funds, we've realized that, you know, a lot can be lost as well. Fixed maturity plans came up and disappointed investors. How do you look at 2020 now? And if one were to invest in a fixed income fund, what fund would you choose?
Right. So I think we spoke a couple of months back at your Diwali show. I still believe that there is a lot of underlying risk out there because you are looking at an economy which is slowing down. There are liquidity challenges. Money transmission is not happening. So I would still put my money in very high quality bond funds. I mean, we spoke about the PSU bond ETF. There are other corporate debt funds as well. So about 70-80% of my allocation, I will put it in these funds because they're giving me a decent yields. Today you can get anywhere between 7 to 7.25 net yield at a time when inflation is closer to 3-4%. So you're getting a real yield of 3%, which is very, very attractive. It doesn't give me any reason to take any additional risk. But yes, I will keep 20% probably in cash and ultra short term or arbitrage funds because I think the credit funds are becoming more and more attractive by the day because a lot of these credit funds have taken all the hits. A lot of the big hits have been taken and they're still yielding close to 9-10%. So you should keep some liquidity to take use of this opportunity maybe in the next 3-4 months as things improve. The other way to do it, which I think is a good idea, is go the SIP route. I mean, normally we hear SIP about equity funds. Now, we don't know when this thing will turn. So you could probably build your credit portfolio over the next 12 months. But yes, it is giving you the reason to take risk because the spreads are very attractive. I mean, if a AAA bond fund is at 7%, you can get close to 8.5-9% in a credit fund. But do it very, very gradually. There is no reason to take too much risk at this point in time.
Okay, I think that's a point well taken, Ashish. Thank you very much for dropping in today and explaining the dynamics of both the Bharat Bond ETF and, of course, the overall
state of the debt market. Always a pleasure.
We always tell you to be very prudent with your investment, not to take too much of risk. That applies to the road as well. Do not use your mobile phone while driving. Follow road signs and traffic rules to stay safe. Be the better guy. Network 18 and Hyundai's initiative towards ensuring road safety in India. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.